Okay.
It's Sunday, April 9th, and I'm at the home of Albert and Dorothy Richard on Route 35 or Day Mill Road in Lyman. And Albert, sitting opposite from me now, was a witness and worked around this neighborhood, and we're going to be discussing the fire of 1947, between October 21st and Thursday, October 23rd, 1947.
Yeah, well, them were the days that we was running around them trying to find out where the fire was and how far down it got.
When did you first hear about it, Albert?
When we first heard about it, it was started way up in Hiram.
That's right.
And they come right down through.
Now, I heard that was a real dry fall. Do you recall that being so extraordinarily dry during that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really dry.
People were concerned about it?
Yeah, there was no water. There was no nothing. That swept right down through, and it took all the... There used to be a big pickling company in Waterbury, you know, and it took that, and it took Gillis's box shop and sawmill out of there, and Arthur Roberts' mill over here, and...
Just swept right through Ossipee Hill and came down Waterboro.
Yeah.
And just came right down through Lyman now.
That's right.
That was just hunting season. Apparently the government was suddenly closing the woods
in.
In
November.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
October, mid-October now. But when were you born?
Me?
Yes, sir.
I was born February 15th in 1908.
In 1908. And that would make you 81 years old, right?
Yes.
Presently. And at the time, you were a young man, roughly in your late 30s and early 40s, I
think. Yeah, let's see.
47. You're about 40 years old, I guess, about the time.
Just about, I guess.
And you were working around, what, as a carpenter or as a...
Me? Yeah. I worked as a carpenter for a while. I built this house, and I worked in the Sokolov as a blacksmith. Albert. Blacksmithing, too. Heat treating for about 10 years. And then when the World War II come through, they shoved me out of there. I quit because they wouldn't transfer me out of the cyanide, and I was sick.
I see.
And then the Navy Yard picked me up.
Oh, I see. So during the war, you worked down the Navy Yard.
I was there for 35 months.
Now, you say you built this home.
Yes.
That we're living in. Now, the place, my place across the street, that was up, I guess.
Yes,
it's been up for a long time.
Yeah. That was built way back.
Yeah. And who was living at it at the time?
Mr. Hatch built it, and he lived there.
Now, I take it you and Dorothy were married at the time. You were both living here, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you heard the fire was coming down, and it seemed like it was pretty much going to be sweeping down this way, and then they have problems down Kennebunk coming up. What was your concern, Albert? Were you asked to...
My concern was just to stay here and see what I could see.
So you're pretty much protecting your own property in the neighborhood, right?
And you know, when that was coming down through, when they got somewhere around Alfred, it escaped Sanford.
Yeah, it skirted Sanford.
And it come down through and escaped a lot of Alfred, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And it come down through, and that sounded just like the Atlantic Ocean with high waves.
I heard that the winds were blowing about 60 miles
an
hour.
That's right, the wind was blowing, and the heat and the cracking of the trees and what was burning.
Yes.
It made about the same noise as the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, let me make an interruption here. We have company coming in, and then we'll be starting right back in.
Keep right on.
We'll be resuming at this point.
And that took about 35 minutes for that lumber yard to burn.
Albert, what did it come across? It sweep across 111 coming down, say, from Goodwin's Hill?
To tell you the truth, it's come across several places.
Yeah.
But I guess at times it come in through the air. Yeah. You know, the fire was lugging in the air and then it dropped.
Cinders.
Yeah, cinders.
Here,
yeah.
Right? Now, it came through in a burnt Jackson store.
It burnt the Jackson store and it burnt the... corner store up there where they're selling them buses and stuff.
I didn't, Boudreaux's. I've got some pretty good pictures here, but I don't know if they're going to be able to help you because I didn't realize you're going to be having eye trouble this morning. But if you might be able to see, there's a picture of Jackson's Corner right there. It looked like
See,
well,
that's
now,
that was
old George Hanscom's filling station.
Yeah.
So it swept through there. Now, what was it, all woods around here, or was this fairly well open?
This one here was Henry Labby's little roadside stand.
Yeah, hell, it was a pile of cinders.
Yeah, there was no big store at the house, their house, the roadside road stand, their house.
Now, you see the sawmill across the road, that was Arthur Roberts.
Yes, I see.
And that burnt and lost all the lumber out of there and everything. Mill and all, everything went.
Now, next to your place and my place over here, what was it? Was it fairly open field like it is now?
Yeah, that was all a fairly open field. I tell you what, I used to mow the hay on that farm.
Yeah.
And I'd store it in the barn, and every spring I sold it because Mr. Pelletier was living there at that time, and he wasn't able to do it, so he gave it to me.
You were able to save the barn there, too? You were able to save all
of
that?
Oh, yes. There was a big set of buildings there.
Now, I read, Albert, in the book that if the people were allowed to stay home and protect their own property, they might have saved more houses. How do you feel about that?
If they'd have left, if the police, the state police, hadn't gone around and drove everybody out, they would have saved a lot of houses, because I was ordered out of here 3 times. And he said, the next time I come through, if you're still here, I'm taking you with me. I said, maybe you will, maybe you won't. And he never come back.
Now, you say you had a friend who was here? he had his own things to do, Albert.
I had my brother, yeah, from Sanford.
And he was, what, dipping water out of the well to feed
you
and your
mother? That was my boy dipping the water out of the well. My little son, he was about, what, 10, 11 years old then?
Yeah, he was going to school.
And he was straining this water through a sifter, you know, with a piece of cloth in, so I could use that water in my pressure potato sprayer, and it wouldn't plug.
And so all there was out here was you with an Indian pump, pressure sprayer.
No, it was me with the pressure sprayer, but right. He did help me put up ladders and one thing or another. We had to go up on the roof, you know. You couldn't shoot from the ground.
No, I imagine not.
But
you have fire coming across the fields, I guess.
It come right up across the field of the woods. There wasn't a thing left.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
How long do you think, do you think it was a full day actually, you know, confronting this thing directly, or how long did you, before you felt like it was by?
The fire took about two and a half hours to go through. But after the fire went through, it was the smoke.
Yes.
That was the hottest. See, well, for 3 days, it was almost impossible to live here with the smoke.
Yeah, stay close to the ground?
And every night. When the dampness come down, you know, the smoke had crowded down. Matter of fact, I went over to help a guy that got off into ditch there with his car. And I left at 7 o'clock at night, and I never got back till midnight. And I only went up as far as where the old lady Kinney lives there. Got lost in the smoke. You couldn't find your way back.
Now, would it jump the stream? Is it the stream, the Kennebunk stream down below? Must have just jumped and swept right
across? Oh, yeah, it jumped places,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of farms, there was nobody there that didn't burn. But the idea is this.
That's
I went up after the fire, of course, I knew the town. I went up to Alice Gooden's and up Swamp Pond and all around, you know. And it's a rocky place up around Alfred. And you can see all these stone walls. Where the fire come up the stone wall, and there's the corner of the barn by the wall, and they got a fire that... The thing only burned a little strip about that wide, the leaves on that wall. If there'd been anybody there with a half a gallon of water, they'd have saved that place.
Oh, so it was just a little finger, and then it caught up to the barn, and the whole thing should go.
That's right. Yeah. If they'd have left the people home instead of driving them out, they would have saved houses and half the houses.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Now, old George Hanscom there, of course, he was completely all burned out, you know. And he run that store, he come down here, him and his wife. I had a lot of people living here with me for 3-4 weeks.
Well, according to my maps here, I mean, this thing swept all the way through from near
Newfield. Oh, yeah, she went clear to Goose Rock Beach.
Clear to Goose Rock Beach, so I don't suppose...
Yeah, it came from almost New Hampshire. It started almost on the edge of New Hampshire to come
that's
down.
That's right, yes it did.
Yeah, yeah.
Came right through Chaplain,
and
that's right.
All the way through.
He comes out here, you know, what he did, he brings all his money to the old man had for running the store. He says to me, he said, I got a set of tire chains. He said, you got a place to put that, take care of it? And I says, yes. I thought there was tire chains. So I did pick them up, you know, the bag that he gave me. I threw it in a basket here in the potato bin. I was all damn lucky, you know, on the way with all the people that was here in this sullen roaming around here. That they didn't pick up that cussed bag and walk off with it, you know. I never looked into it. I was busy doing something else. I never bothered to look at it. When he got ready to go, he says, where's my tire chains? I said, as far as I know, down solid. I went down solid and got it. I opened it. It was his money they had in there.
Well, there were just two old folks, you know. They were...
It was in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, they were in the 80s then.
But... He could have told me what was in the bag. I'd have taken better care of it. Wouldn't you?
Well, you took
I don't suppose you trusted anybody.
You took good care of it.
I know,
but they got down the cellar.
Hey, when a guy's trying to save this place here, my father's place, that burnt, my brother's place burnt, And my father had a barn there full of hardwood sticking sawed up ready to put in the stove. And that made such a hot fire, it melted old Percy Day's forge, so the steel run right out like water by the corner of that barn.
Now, what were you telling me about some people from Red Cross trying to charge you for a sandwich here or something like that? They're, delivering food and asking for
They come down trying to sell us cigarettes and sandwiches.
Yeah, I read that in Wildfire Loose by Joyce Butler also, that there was some people taking advantage of the situation, perhaps, a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Well, of course, there's always somebody to kill everything, you know.
Yeah, there's always somebody to kill everything, that's quite right.
Spoil it
yes.
for everybody else. Yeah. You never make anything different. But just the same, I told them what I thought of it when they come down and try to sell me something. And I just let it go with that. But
and Mr. Hanscom, he got
I'll tell you who gave the biggest hand here after the fire. And that was the Salvation Army.
They stepped right in and helped out, did they?
They helped more people than anybody else, the Salvation Army. They got them furniture, they got them clothes, they got them something to eat, and a lot of them, they got them some tents to sleep in. They were the biggest hand of all.
What do you think was the biggest reason for that fire getting out of control, Albert? Do you have any feeling for that?
Huh?
Well, how'd that get out of control? You think, what was the big reason? They said there was a lot of slash in the woods. And it was awfully dry and pretty windy. And they weren't really that well organized, either, the fire.
They wouldn't be no use to haul water or anything like that. It never amounted to nothing, you know, too dry.
Yeah.
They even had some big bulldozer across the 111,
yeah.
Which was the mill, back the fire up.
And they what they did with those bulldozers, they harmed more than anything else.
Tearing up everything, yeah.
If they'd have taken a small tractor and a plow and a harrow and they plowed a few furrows, it'd have done more good than pushing up a big pile of loom and dirt and stuff, you know. And also the U.S. Navy,
yes, I read
when they got all done, the 407 fire, they gave the Don the Lyman a great big bulldozer, a low bed, and a big truck, and another little smaller TD-6 for the people to use to help straighten out some of this wood that was done, you know. But the town sold them. I think they still got the big one in by the town hall there, the big dozer.
Goodwin's Mills was spared.
Huh?
Yeah, Goodwin's Mills was spared, huh? Just by the wind, I guess, shifted.
Yeah. It just shifted.
That was the only reason why.
He shifted it, and I'll tell you another thing. They had more equipment and more firemen and trucks and stuff watching for the village than they did around here, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, watching the village.
Hmm.
Well, there are lots of people around here. Why don't they get some of them people from over the mill to come up this way to help?
Now, you take it right there in Goodwin's Mills, you see, they had that pond there.
Hmm.
Yeah, they have 3-4 fire trucks there. That's quite a savings for them to get their water, and a lot of them could be pumping out of the pond and everything, you know.
Was your pond back here, Doug?
That pond wasn't dug at that time.
Oh, so you kind of...
And if it was, you couldn't do anything anyway, because I tell you why, you don't have... The first thing, they have fire insurance, and they have these high buildings, and they have all this stuff. And they figure you're going to do a lot. Well, the first thing when the fire starts, you don't have any more power, so what are you going to do?
Well, that's right. You can't get a pump.
Right. Suppose you was in a 14-story house. The first thing they do to cut off the power, where's the elevator?
Well, you can't use it. You can't use it.
You're up there. You come down any way you can. If you can't make it, you burn. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But they always figure on that power. Well, that power ain't here. I didn't have no power neither. Yeah. You know what I used to pump my water with? I had a piston pump, and I drilled the hole through the pulley, and I used to turn it by hand.
Yeah, I missed the power in the winter here. My fuel oil doesn't work.
We didn't have any power here, you know, for at least a month and a half.
Is that right?
Well, they had to put in all new wires and all new poles and everything. Everything went. Nothing stayed. No phone, no nothing.
What did you have? Once it swept south of 111 here, Albert, between here and Kennebunk, what was left standing up here? Was your place, my place? The Roberts home over there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, all the
Burt place down about halfway down.
All the Roberts,
Mr. Morissette's big farm.
Yeah, Morissette.
The Day Road. Clarence Day Road and Littlefield and Murphy and all them.
Arthur Roberts'
old place, yeah, that didn't burn.
Merrill Farm, I guess.
And Rob Merrill, though, he had a big set of buildings there, about as big as Roberts, and a big barn. He had cows and horses and everything. That all leveled right off, nothing. And all the rest of the woods and down through. In places there was some things left, and in places there
was nothing. Spotty, that's right. Yeah. But after a couple and a half hours, you say, pretty much swept through, and then you're behind the fire line.
And to tell you the truth, at the fire, when the fire was on, you didn't have time to go anywhere, because you were only 2.5 hours, you know. And when they got too stuffy here and too damn hot, the only thing you could do is lay down and stick your nose in the grass, which is no smoke.
Right.
And breathe that way for a while.
Well, it was burning through, Albert. Were you concerned for your safety?
Huh?
Did you think this thing was going to get really bad when this thing was burning through, or did you think you could save it all the way, or what? Were you worried?
Were you worried? I said,
no, no, you didn't have time to worry. You were too busy trying to save your stuff. You know, when you just build a house, this house was brand new. And you don't have too much money at them days, and the wages wasn't too high. I'm telling you, you worked pretty hard to save it, you know.
Was this road out here dirt at the time? Was it dirt or was it
No, paved? No, that was tarred.
That was tarred?
That was dirt road in 1931.
I see.
And they built the 111 in 1926.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah.
Now this stretch right out here is Day's Mills Road, is that right?
Yeah.
And then over beyond, they call it just the Day Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now it's supposed to be the Roberts Road.
Now it's the Roberts
Road. They call it Robert Road or Day's Road.
I think
everybody moves in here is different, you know. They built this big dam over there to go to this mill, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to have a woolen mill in there. And that was the Wadley Dam.
Yeah.
Old Ben Lund, down on 111, built that. And he was going to have, of course, it was the Wadley Road because it went. Now it ain't anymore. It's the
Mass Road,
yeah.
Well, you think they'll call this the Braun Road sometime? You think they'll call this the Braun Road sometime out here because we moved in?
I don't know.
No, but it's these people that changes the name, you know.
Well, I get confused between Day Road and Day Mill Road. I didn't know if you knew anything about that, but how it got...
Well, you know, the Day Road, as I say, some of them people, they call it the Roberts Road.
Yes.
And the most of the old folks been living there for almost all of these years, they call it the Day Road.
But there's a lot of stuff that was lost that could have been saved.
Well, my records show that there were, in the state, about 130,000 acres burned those three or four days.
Oh, yes.
And let me tell you something, there was nothing left to do.
What kind of help did you get after the fire? What kind of, you say Salvation Army came in. Navy left the town of Dover.
Oh, the Salvation Army, they gave him food, and they gave him clothes, and they gave him shelter. What they tent, you know, was better than sleeping outdoors.
What did you do for a living? I mean, once the burning, there wasn't too much carpentry to be done.
What we did for a living?
Afterwards, yeah.
Well, after the fire, Gillis in Waterboro, they've lost their shop, buck shop and everything. They bought Spang's Mill. And they started that, and we started to saw all the logs that had burnt, you know. That didn't hurt the pine at the first, as long as they got them cut before the worms got into them to spoil the lumber. But along the last end of it, a lot of the worms got into it.
I see.
It wasn't burning, sawing it fast enough. And they had a lot of sawmills going, getting the lumber. Now, the thing you could do was to cut logs and help the people brow them out and haul them to the mills, and the mills was running sometimes a shift and a half a day, you know. And I worked over there for Gillis, where Spang is today. And when everything, the boom of the wood was cleaned off, well, there was nothing else to do again. So I went cutting wood for old man Fox in Union, and they used to use Excelsior to pack dishes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all the small pines, you know, no knots, we'd haul it up there, and they used it for Excelsior. And after that run out, by that time, they had a few more things started. And they sold Gillis has sold the mill and Spang bought it, and he moved up there, and he'd been running there for about 35, 36, 7 years, something,
yeah, something like that.
You ever seen a season as dry as that? You ever seen
Did
that
I
season?
Ever see a season? No.
Since then again, never
no,
been quite as dry as that,
no. Been pretty close to it, but not that dry.
You think something like that could happen again, Albert?
And then old Wyman Haley had a house built right over here, next to the lady that lives there.
Yeah.
And we just finished it that one day. We finished that house, and we were going to start painting it the next day, the trims and everything on it, and that burnt that same day, the fire.
Same day you finished it, she burnt.
Same day.
That must have been about,
his son,
probably around Thursday, the 23rd, there around
His son was over here the other day. Now he's looking and he's trying to get a permit to build another one there now. He's going to build a two-car garage and a rent on top. Then he's going to build a house. And now they've got things freaked up so with these permits and things. He's got to have 1,000 foot of frontage to build a house.
Well, that's a whole other subject.
Now, that don't make sense. He got 17 acres in that field over there. And he got to have 1,000 foot of frontage.
Well, I thought we weren't going to talk about politicians here this morning, Albert.
Yeah. He moved out, he got out of the house over here. It was 6:15.
In the morning now?
On October 23rd.
No, in the afternoon,
okay.
Yeah. 6:15 in the afternoon.
And she came over and got me. I was over there
putting
the last finish boards on the back of the house.
Yeah.
And it went up that evening?
Yeah. Well, we just got over here. He got here. I told him, I said, come home. If you want to save your farm equipment, I said, you better come home. I said, put it on the plow ground so that you won't lose nothing. I said, we ain't going to sleep over here tonight. He said, how do you know? Well, I said, you're just looking at that corner over there. I said, it's going to tell you.
Yeah, when you're busy.
I kept watching it all afternoon,
yeah.
You know, because that part over there, the school teachers, they had moved out, the good ones there, that's on the, over the Kennebunk Pond Road.
Yes, yeah.
They were living over there, and they had taken everything out. They had 3 trucks all packed, because they were planning that they wouldn't be there either Tuesday or Wednesday. And so Wednesday, they see that everything had calmed down. Everything was all calmed down on Wednesday. Oh, they just took everything back into the house. And Thursday afternoon, they lost everything.
That's right.
They lost everything on Thursday afternoon.
You know, there's a lot of furniture and a lot of stuff was moved that night that nobody ever saw it again.
Nobody ever see it again, huh? Fire got it.
There was cows, there was pigs, there was horses hauled off. I never saw them again.
Yeah, well, but the horses and pigs.
But up and down the road here, I see several pigs going up and down the road running. And the horses, cows. You know, down here in Dave's Mills, that blacksmith by the name of Pockwin, he kept all the cows, the donkeys for old Orchard Beach. And he put every one of them in the barn and shut the doors, and they burned. Which if he'd have left those donkeys out, they would have burnt.
They would have made okay by themselves.
That's right. The fire got too hot. He'd have done like them horses going down through here. He'd have moved, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There was rabbits. There was everything you could think of going up and down the road. My old car was standing in the driveway there. I could hear that body honk in and out by the heat from way over there when I was working on that house over across the road. And there was 3-4 big trucks that burnt from the corner to Dave's Mills. It gets so hot, you know, they blew up.
The gasoline tank, it was some gas tank, that little side road stand.
Yes.
I was outside because I was watching him and I was watching for the
old
folks over there, you know. And I heard When the fire got so hot, that little stand there, I heard the explosion there, the tanks have exploded.
That's a half mile away. That's a half mile up to the corner up there.
Yeah, just about.
It was funny, though, that George's tanks didn't blow up.
No, they didn't blow up over there, no.
It might have been full.
Might have skirted it.
Because there ain't too much danger of a gas tank on the car if it's broom full.
I see.
If it's half empty, that's when you want to watch it.
Could have been. Well, I think I got a pretty good idea just what happened those few days around here. I appreciate you taking your time.
Well, that's all right.
Well,
if you don't have enough, well, probably we can think up some more.